Recording
No,
in progress.
I've accepted them.
All right, thank you. You can proceed.
Okay. Then further consultation must ensure that prior to introduction of the bill, South African Veterinary Association versus the Speaker of the National Assembly and others. Number 11, whether Parliament has acted reasonably in discharging its duty to facilitate public involvement will depend on the number of factors, including 11.1, nature and importance of the legislation, 11.2, the intensity of the impact on the public, 11.3, time and expense, saving money and time does not qualify inadequate opportunities for public involvement, 11.4, the content of the legislation, and the agents of the legislation. They are referring there to Doctors for Life versus the Speaker of the National Assembly. Given the above, if any, when the committee has been granted approval by the National Assembly to extend the scope of the bill, of the revised bill, the bill will be re-advertised for further 2 weeks, bearing in mind the Constitutional Court extended deadline, and any submission received will be considered prior to the bill being sent to the National Council of Provinces report to be considered. That's all, Chairperson. I'll also request Chairperson to note those where we have made some changes from the report that we have sent yesterday to members. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Matonsi, and thank Parliamentary Legal Service and the State Law Advisor and our Content Advisor. Members, this is a report which is presented before us for adoption to allow us to proceed for the request permission, the National Assembly, and for written submission to for members as indicated on their last statement. Can I get indication for consideration to adopt the report? I'll start with Honorable Pile, and I'll come with Honorable Lukwase, Honorable Tito, Honorable Ruos, Honorable Molekwa, Honorable Kanyile, Honorable Mohale, and Honorable Modise. I'm just working on the basis of members who are members of the committee. I'm not sure who's not in the committee because apologies were not carried. In that order, Honorable, yes, it was co-chair after Honorable Lizelle.
Thank yes. you.
Thank you, co-chair. In that order, Honorable Epile.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to all colleagues. Chair, let me first appreciate and thank the Secretary of Committee and Content Advisor and all who was party to finalizing this report. Chairperson, without any delays, I wish to move for the adoption of the report. At the ANC, we are in full support of this report. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Khose.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good morning to all the colleagues on the platform. Without any waste of time, I would like to agree with Honorable Pile, and I second the adoption of this report. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Tito.
Thanks, Chair. Good morning to my colleagues and everyone who is present. Chair, us as the EFF, we are not in agreement. We are not supporting. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Ross.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to point out in Section 12 there, where it says Council of Provinces, just to correct that, it's COUNCIL.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Honorable Ross.
Chairperson?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I thought maybe I was cut off again.
No, you're fine, yeah. Honorable Ross, are you... It was just correcting
Yes. So Chairperson, yeah, with that change, I mean, we need to go back to Parliament. So we agree we need to go back to Parliament and ask for the 2 weeks. And this is a fair reflection of what was agreed by the committee, even though the DA doesn't agree with all of it.
Okay, noted. Thank you, Honorable Ross. Mulekwa?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Don't you agree with Honorable Pili and Honorable Lokwas? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Kanyile. What's happening, Honorable Kanyile? Okay. I'll come back to you, Honorable Khwasa. I see you've raised your hand. I'll come back to you. Honorable Kanyile? Okay. Honorable Mukhale?
I think we'll Chair, Honorable Mukhale is not present. He's currently traveling. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Tito, for that assistance. Honorable Lizeth?
Thank you, Chair. I will support the adoption of the report. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Honorable Ramulobe? Okay, Honorable Mudise?
Thank you very much, Chair. It is very important that we take the report to Parliament so that we can get a permission to go and to the public and advertise the report for written comments. Therefore, I support the adoption of the report as it is. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Fassi, you have raised your hand earlier.
Yes, Chair. Thank you very much. Chair, it's just my personal view or opinion that we had a responsibility or a collective responsibility as to implement the decision of the court. It is of one's interest maybe to get to understand. For me, when members say, like Member Tito, she has just said they are not agreeing. Maybe for myself, it's very important for a member to tell us exactly what is it that they do not agree upon. Maybe it might be something that we might all consider, and maybe it will also be a process of correcting things that we are not aware of. So in my view, it is very important for us to be told what exactly is the disagreement for, which clause, which points are the members not agreeing on. Maybe we should consider that and rectify if the need arises for us to rectify. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Noted. I'm trying to think how we need to process, but let me lay principles so that at least members will guide. And I think in the course of any deliberations, there are different views expressed by members. And those views are carried, and I'm working on an assumption on this one, are carried by what perhaps their party or yourself, Honorable Lokwase, you agree on the point, on the basis on how your party think your contribution to the committee has to interacted with. So, and any member who disagrees is only that basis. The only area is that perhaps members could not qualify their differences on the meeting. But I'm sure all members, you will all agree that once we have, we're at this stage, if we were to, because an opportunity for members was presented to deliberate, to disagree, have consensus, and so forth and so on. And all of you, you fully participated, and I must appreciate that, to this meeting. Let me give you an example. If you look on the deliberation that have been ensued, there are a few areas where members have disagreed on. And to open up to members to give reasons, and we must start again the process where the differences, it may be unfair to the process itself. And I'm sure you know that some of our members were not attending the deliberation during recess. And we can't account to the absence when we're deliberating and decision have been carried. I'm trying to assist members so that we don't put each other on the spot to explain whether why you agreed on this process and why you disagreed. If members have disagreed, they don't adopt. It's a process that Parliament has established. We're free, members don't agree, they agree, they abstain, and I think we may need to appreciate it on that on that matter. I'm sure that when we're going to debate in the House, when we present this report, all of us will be able to have an opportunity to express areas where we're differing and so on and so on. But what is central is that we don't differ with the Constitutional Court ruling, all of us. There's no one who has differed with that Constitutional Court ruling. It may be the issues that underpins our discussions in that matter. My understanding is that all of us were adopting the proceeding for extension, and I think there was a objection from a honorable people. Is there any other member who think my assistant is not the reflection of the contributions we've made in during the recess? I'm not sure if I can. Yes, Honorable Peter.
Yes, Chair. I think that you have put it very, very clear. Yes, it's like that. The bill can go to Parliament, but now there are certain things, certain clauses inside the bills where we are not agreeing on. But I think that you were on point. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Tito. Honorable Khwase, are you comfortable?
That Chair, I think your submission is proper, Chair.
Okay. Thank you, members. Mr. Matonsi, the committee adopts this report and the interim report for permission for National Assembly to allow us to request for written submissions. And that is the decision of the committee. Mr. Matonsi?
Yes, thanks, Chairperson. I'll be sending it out so that it will be published by tomorrow. Yeah, thanks, Chairperson. Then the other issue, Chairperson, I don't think we need to adopt. You know, we also developed an advert for advertisement, which after the NA has granted permission, and then we'll be able to advertise the bill without coming back to the committee. I'm not sure if you want me to go through the advert, but it's supposed to capture the amendments that are there in the report, including the issue that were identified late by legal cells that were inserted, Chairperson. So we don't have to adopt it because we don't know which data we're going to be advertising. I'm just saying that, Chairperson.
Okay, noted, Mr. Matons. I think adopting this report gave effect that to that process of an advert, and once the National Assembly has accepted granted the permission, will proceed. Can I get State Law Advisor and Parliamentary Legal Service so to pass this point? Committee has adopted the report. State Law Advisor?
Thank you, Chair. Okay. Chairperson, I think that the parliamentary law advisor would be best placed to advise on the processes with regard to parliament and the rules. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Dacha?
Good morning, Chair. As you have stated, the report has now been adopted. As Mr. Matonsi has also stated, it will now surface in the House. And once the permission is granted, all the necessary processes for the re-advertisement will be followed. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Daksha and the team. Thank you very much, members. We're now going to item number 2. I'll invite IC and immediately invite the Commission on Gender Equality, and then members will then interact on the two reports. I think that will be sufficient. If there's no objection on the process, we can proceed. Mr. Matonsi, give it to Commissioner Laff.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And thanks again to the members of the committee for this opportunity. I think that what we had wanted to do was to engage with the committee around 10 areas of the international framework that assesses the ability and integrity of both the electoral management bodies and the electoral process. I'm going to ask that the CEO would take us then through the presentation, and we can then engage thereafter with any issues that arise. And maybe before the CEO starts, I'm sure that the committee will join me in appreciating the fact that it's his birthday. Chairperson, through you.
Yeah. Happy birthday, CEO. You can proceed, CEO. I think you will also assist us to wish you more when members close, when we close, towards closing. I think we'll invite members to take a bite. Thank you, CEO.
You are on mute, CEO.
Yeah, I think Deputy Commissioner Love, can you assist now that it is birthday, so maybe the day is too busy.
No, I'm here. I'm here, Chairperson. My apologies. I was saying, Chair, that I've been looking for the contact details for the Director General of the Department of Social Services, because an application for a social grant is getting closer. I really need her contact number. Be that as it may, Chair, thank you very much. Greetings to you, Chairperson, members of the Commission, the Deputy Minister, DG and the colleagues, as well as members of the portfolio committee. So today we're presenting the electoral integrity project. This is essentially an independent study which was founded by Professor Pippa Norris in 2012. Professor Pippa Norris is one of the foremost scholars in electoral democracy. She's written quite substantively. She's an authority, as it were, on the subject of electoral democracy. The study itself was based at Harvard and the University of Sydney in Australia. But I recently learned that Professor Pippa Norris has retired. The commission had wanted to have him in South Africa, to have her, sorry, in South Africa, but it's not possible due to her retirement.
So the project is therefore currently directed by Dr. Holly N. Garnett, and is housed at the Royal Military College of Canada, which is at Queen's University, co-housed at the Queen's University and the University of East Anglia. And what this electoral integrity project has done is to assess the quality of elections since the year 2012. But the report that we are presenting before the portfolio committee today relates to the period 2019 to 2021. Now, some few remarks relative to context and methodology. This study exclusively focuses on national and not subnational elections. In other words, it does not look at, for instance, municipal or local government elections. And since 2012, 418 national elections have been assessed, and that implicates 169 countries. This assessment is conducted by independent country experts drawn from social and political science, and is supported by mass surveys, case studies, research opinion, and so on. So it does involve people who are well versed in the subject in the various countries. The project is acutely aware of possible expert bias, you know, so it does not claim total neutrality. It's, you know, in social science, as we all know, such bias is inevitable. So it does accept, or rather it is aware of possible expert bias. So at the outset, I think that is put on the table. But to ameliorate that, it uses a unique data set on electoral integrity to evaluate and assess these elections. So perhaps I'll get to this in a minute. So the project, this electoral integrity project, collects data on 49 indicators to compare one election from the other. They try to use the indicators so that you don't assess on one element in one country and a different element in another country. So the 49 indicators ensure that elections are compared on the same basis. But these 49 indicators are clustered in 11 stages of the electoral cycle. These indicators relate to electoral laws, a role in which this house and this portfolio committee play a very important role. Electoral procedures which are established in our law, again, a matter on which Parliament as a whole and this portfolio committee play a significant role. Voting district boundaries, that's a matter exclusively within the domain of the Commission, as is voter registration, party and candidate registration, and then media coverage. You know, the Commission is at the heart of it. It's a matter that has a preponderance of influence from many other actors in society, including the media houses themselves, political commentators, and so on and so on. Then campaign finance, and this is in our language, party funding issues. And then the voting process, the results index, and electoral authorities. By electoral authorities is meant the institutional mechanism put in place for the management of the election. So in respect of our case, two South African elections are covered in the recent electoral integrity report. It is the national provincial elections 2014 and national and provincial elections 2019. As we indicated, this does not cover municipal elections. The data set is drawn from a rolling survey of 4,591 expert assessments of electoral integrity across 480 elections in 169 countries. The cumulative study covers national, presidential, and parliamentary election. And as we say, the study was inaugurated in July of 2012 and covers a period to the end of last year. It also covers three additional years of election from the previous report, adding 143 elections in 115 countries. That is 3 February 2019 to 31 December 2021. In other words, from the previous study, the recent one integrates 143 elections in 115 countries. And this perceptions of integrity are measured by this aspect that the 495, severally, not as a cumulative study, severally, 1 month after the poll close. So the study will be done a month after the election had closed. And an overall perceptions of integrity index score is assigned between 0 and 100, so that you can score anything between 0 and 100. So there is a perceptions of electoral integrity index. So there's an index that aggregates the 49 indicators that I spoke about a few moments ago. Chair, can you still hear me?
Yes, it's your day.
Okay, thanks very much. Definitely. Now, on the screen we have the different aspects which are being assessed by this electoral integrity project. As I indicated, it's electoral laws, electoral procedures, voter registration, party registration, media coverage, campaign finance, the voting process, voting counting, the results, and the election management body. So, editorially, those are the 11 areas which are assessed. Now, what is the global findings of the study? The first is that electoral integrity remains the highest in Nordic countries, Finland, Sweden, and Denmark. Have the highest index score. Of course, there are regions regional disparities in electoral integrity, with the lowest scores found in some African and Asian countries. Although electoral integrity continues to be generally higher with countries with high levels of economic development, quality elections were still delivered in lower income countries such as Cape Verde, which had the highest ranking score on the African continent. So although economic development does suggest that the country scores higher, it is not universally true. Because as we see, lower income countries such as Cape Verde have really punched above their weight, so to speak. Electoral finance on a global level remains the weak area in the electoral cycle. Of course, it's a new phenomenon in many jurisdictions. And jurisdictions are grappling with the optimal regulatory framework. The frameworks have been tested and adjusted and revised and so on, because electoral finance is not a constant phenomenon. It's forever evolving with new ways of funding coming across that escape existing frameworks. So that area therefore remains the weakest of all the 11 aspects of the electoral cycle. The publishing of transparent financial accounts was the lowest subcomponent. This demonstrates the need across the board for policymakers, candidates, electoral authorities to improve reporting mechanisms to allow for maximum transparency in the use of money in elections. The areas of electoral cycle that are the strongest are the vote counting and election procedures, which means many jurisdictions have put in significant effort in optimizing their voting procedures as well as the counting procedures so that their results reflect the actual votes of people who took part in the election. Now, if we come to regional comparison, the regional comparisons of the electoral, of the perception of electoral integrity ratings show that South Africa is doing well in comparison with many countries from various continents, with the exception of Europe. In terms of the overall perception of electoral integrity rating in the African continent, South Africa scores an average of 66. Remember, the average score is between 0 and 100. So South Africa scores an average of 66 on the 49 indicators. And is ranked only second to Cape Verde, at 73. The rest of the other 49 assessed countries rank below South Africa. Of course, as a political system, as an electoral democracy, we don't take pride in coming second. We welcome a very favorable rating, yet we think as a political system we ought to be ranked first, and I think our cumulative efforts must be brought to bear on an attempt to get us to that ideal of being ranked one. So in other words, moving from the current score of 66 to above 73. And I think that is within our grasp if we cooperate as we should to strengthen our electoral democratic practices. Now, in comparison with the 30 assessed countries in the continent of America, 21, including the USA, score at 57, and those rank below South Africa. And one country, Barbados, scores 66, which is a similar score to us. And only 8 countries rank above us in the Americas. Now, in comparison with the 41 assessed countries in the continent of Asia, 34 are ranked below South Africa, and only 7 rank above us. Now, when we do the comparison with Europe, there are 41 assessed countries again in Europe, 15 ranked below South Africa, and Poland have a similar index score as us, while the majority, 25, rank much higher than us, the majority of them scoring above the 70 index score. Now, in terms of Oceania, there are 10 countries that were rated, and only one, which is New Zealand, scores at 75 and ranks much higher than us, obviously. And we have a similar score as Australia at 66. The rest of the countries, 8 countries in total in the Oceanian subcontinent, rank lower than South Africa. Now, if we look at South Africa in more specific terms, South Africa scored relatively well in both the 2014 and 2019 elections, with scores above 60 in the majority of the indicators. Only in 3 areas did South Africa do relatively poor, and this relates to voter registration, media coverage, and campaign finance. Now, I did mention at the beginning that this is a perception study, and there is obviously expert bias, you know, and we may hold different views about the efficacy of our voter registration processes. We may hold different views even about media coverage in South Africa's election, you know. But from where they sit, the experts are rating us poorly on these 3 indicators: voter registration, media coverage, and a campaign finance. In all 3 of these indicators, South Africa scored below 60. But the campaign finance category was the worst performing area, with a score of 41 in 2014 and 35 in 2019 elections. There are 5 areas of the 11 where South Africa performed well with scores above 70. And this is so in both the 2014 and 2019 elections. That is electoral laws, electoral procedures, vote counting processes, the results, the results compilation procedures, and the commission as an institution, its functionality, and its efficacy. That's the summary of the report, and I thank you for granting us the opportunity to present the summation of the Electoral Integrity Global Report. Thank you.
No, thanks, CEO, for that brief summary. Mr. Matonsi, can I establish if the team, the other institution, are they now in the meeting?
Chairperson, I was just speaking to them now. It seems as if the chairperson of the commission, the CGE, is out of the country, just left today. But I spoke to the colleagues there. They're saying they're waiting for the link. I just returned them the link, but they are not. They have not yet received it yet. If maybe we can engage with the IEC, and then while I'm waiting for them to connect.
I'm not understanding.
No, I'm saying they are not in the meeting. I was talking to them now. The chairperson of the commission who was supposed to be in the meeting, and I think she went, she's outside of the country. So they did not, the colleagues that are in the office there, they didn't have the link. They were not given the link. So I have resent it to them. So I was requesting if members can engage with the IEC presentation in the meantime while I'm coordinating with them whether they have received the link or not.
Okay, and I want to understand, when they receive the link, they will be able to stand on behalf of the chairperson of the...
I think so, they will. I think so.
Okay. Thank you.
Chair, I'm sorry to interrupt. I want to know, when did we invite the CGE to make a presentation to us? Because I feel that if they didn't honour our invitation, I'm not quite sure about the process that we are following now, where people will present to us, but they weren't really briefed about presenting to us. So I just want to make sure that we invited the CGE some time back. Just wanted to get clarity on this, if you don't mind.
Mr. Matonsi?
Yeah, I did. Firstly, I did send them the approved committee program, and then later I sent them a letter to say we are going to have this meeting today. I spoke to the chairperson of the commission, and then she confirmed that they will be in the meeting today. And then yesterday I spoke to another person from the CGE to say the chairperson will be traveling outside of the country after she has confirmed that they will be here. And then, but they were not given the link that side, the email that I sent to the chairperson and other commissioners. They were not given a link. That's what they were telling me this morning. So I've emailed them the link again.
Sorry. Let's stand down off this item. The meeting started at 9 o'clock. If there was any other issue, could have been registered in the apologies. Now we can't get this confusion at this time at 8 past 10. I think all of us will appreciate that this is not a professional way to work with the HR. If the chair was outside the country, he could not attend the meeting to present. We could have been received an apology at that time. And secondly, if this other team were not briefed, which were not even aware, we could not, I mean, is it 10 o'clock now? This was short gazing, and I don't think that is how we must work with the institution. Let's get into the IEC comments. We'll deal with that matter when they're finishing with the responses. I'm going to now invite the members. Honorable, I see your hand. I'm trying to. Yes, Honorable.
Yes, Chairperson. No, I want to support fully your submission, Chair. That's what I wanted to raise. I think it's important that we respect this committee, and in light of that, that matter should be stood down. Thank you.
Okay, let me invite members to comment on the questions on the IEC We'll start with Honorable Ross, Honorable Lohuase, Honorable Tito, Honorable Molekwa, Honorable
The funding of the IEC itself, and then related to that, then what are the IEC, what are their proposals and recommendations or thoughts in terms of how to address those gaps? And then in terms of voter registration, I think if we look at 2019, if that was low, then what's happened since then has probably made it even lower. And so again, the question is what steps are being taken on the voter registration site to ensure that the mishaps of the last few years are not repeated. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Ross. Honorable Joase.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I have one question similar to Honorable Ross, but would want to know whether the IEC has considered the previous mistakes they had. For me, I can say it's a mistake because when people got to the voter, to the rolls, they were not registered there. People became aware of where they are registered to vote by the time they had to vote. So I want to know what it is that the IEC will be doing, maybe as part of their voter education, to make sure that people become aware of where they need to go and vote before the actual date of voting. And Chair, I want to check with the IEC or maybe to caution them or maybe remind them to deal with the problems that we encountered in the previous elections where the material did not arrive at stations on time, where the IEC did not come and open the stations on time, and where voters decided to go back home and not come and vote again. I think that's also part of the things they need to improve on when going to elections, because there was a lot of confusion which also made voters, in my view, they denied voters their rights to go and vote because voters made it on time and it was the IEC that arrived late. So I think that's a comment and a point that I think the IEC should look into as preparations to the next coming election. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Joase, for your contributions. Honorable Tito. Honorable Molekwa.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me also start by appreciating the report presented by the IEC, and also appreciate the fact that at least South Africa has performed well against other countries, though there are other countries that have performed well against the SA. I just want to emphasize on the question raised by Honorable Lahas, Chairperson, that on the poorly performed areas, that was alluded in the report on the issue of voter registration, media coverage, and campaign finance, was the fact that the IEC under-budgeted on these areas, or are there any factors that contributed negatively to these three areas to for the election to be performed poorly.
But otherwise, Chairperson, also appreciate the good work done by the IEC in the election work. We hope that the IEC can also make sure that they improve on these three areas that are underperformed, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kanyele.
Thank you, Chairperson. And greetings to you and the colleagues and everyone in this meeting. Chairperson, I wish to reiterate on the question that was raised by one of my colleagues. We would like to know what will be done to prevent the increase in confusion about which voting station voters are registered at. And secondly, Chairperson, we would like to know what will be done to improve the findings on voter registration as well as the media coverage. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Kanyele. Honorable Lizen.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson. And let me also just start off by saying thank you very much for the report. And I think really we need to congratulate the IEC in terms of its credibility score. I think it underscores again the good work that this institution continues to do. My previous colleagues have touched on all the issues, but I think, of course, one of the issues that we need to interrogate at a later stage is maybe to ask the IEC to come back and deal with some of the challenges that we experienced in the last election and maybe give us an update in terms of how they intend addressing it for the next elections. But also I had similar questions as to what Honorable Ruiz had asked. I wondered about the campaign finance. In particular, does it refer to the finances of the commission or does it refer to the finances available to people contesting the elections? I'm not quite clear in terms of how that is measured. Also, I wanted to ask in terms of media coverage, how was that measured and how does the IEC plan to increase its media coverage? And I'm asking that mindful of the fact that, you know, the IEC has got limited finances and budget available, and therefore I assume in the next election there will be less money for media advertising, etc. And then with regards to voter registration, you know, one of the great concerns for me remains the low participation of young people in elections, and it's something that we often speak about. But I wonder in terms of best practice and looking at all these other countries that we were measured against, whether there are any examples or lessons that we can learn in terms of increasing youth participation in elections. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Lizelle. Honorable Pile.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chair, I want to start off by saying that the underpinning mandate for IEC is to hold free and fair elections, and I think we must commend them on doing that. However, there are two points that I think, you know, is a fine line in terms of ensuring that an election is free and fair. And the one is about special votes, where those who are registered for special votes but unfortunately do not get to cast their special vote for many reasons. And one is that they don't get visited. And perhaps that is a concern because you find a number of people have been registered for special votes, but when the election results are announced, you find that not all of them have been able to participate. The second one is in respect of the registered voters who were turned away. I think we raised this concern just after the last local government elections, where there were serious challenges of registered voters who were actually turned away and not allowed to vote. And that then becomes a serious challenge in ensuring that everyone has an equal opportunity to participate in an election. I then want to also cover on the incorrect voting districts. I think some of the members and colleagues have raised it. But again, I think we need to have a clear plan with timeframes, Chairperson, on how this is going to be corrected. Because you can't have in the same household four registered voters and two are in one voting district and the other in another voting district. I think this has to be corrected, and there must be clear timelines in terms of how that is going to be addressed. In terms of the ward boundaries that sometimes change, demarcations as well, And I don't think that enough is being done to advise voters of where they now need to vote chairperson. So I think it's important that we are able to address that and have clear timelines. And the last one is just to get an update in terms of the electoral voting system, electronic voting system that was once spoken about. And I think there was some research being done, but also we were going to do some kind of feasibility study or best practices. And I think it's important for us to raise that that item again, so that we know going forward where we are placed, especially in light of 4IR. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Pile, for your contributions. Honorable Modise, Nza.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me also appreciate the report from the IEC and also commend them on the work that they've been doing throughout the years, taking note of the weaknesses that may still be there and there's a room for improvement, but one is encouraged with the integrity that the IEC has held throughout the elections. I would also want to make an emphasis on the voter education. It is evident that there's lack of interest from electorates or the citizens to participate in elections. One would encourage IEC to intensify their voter education to get interest, particularly around the youth of our country, so that the citizens are encouraged to take part and participate in the elections. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Modise. Can I check if Honorable Tito is back online? Okay, thank you very much, Deputy Commissioner Love, and you'll delegate on the responses from members. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Chairperson, and thanks again to honourable members. There are a couple of things that I'll just start on, and then I'll hand over to Commissioner Moyepia, who will then hand on to others, including the CEO. But in relation to the issue of the party finance, or the campaign finance, it does really reference the issue of our own governance as a country, as to how political parties are funded in a manner that is transparent and well understood by the electorate. So I think that it relates to all of the issues to do with political party funding act rather than financing that is associated with the work of the Electoral Commission. I think the second thing is that in terms of media coverage, one of the concerns, a major concern in relation to the media coverage that is referenced in the report, really talks in terms of how issues such as social media and the disinformation are able to be effectively managed in a timely fashion. And I think that although the Commission has done some work in that regard and really been a leader in many respects, the reality is that the follow-up and the ability to at times enforce in a timely manner is not something that necessarily also resides with the Commission, but is also something that these evaluation reports look at. And it does reference as well issues to do with the way in which social media can sometimes be used in order to intimidate and belittle and campaign in a fairly malicious way, in a very malicious way, not just around candidates and not just in particular targeting women, but also around journalists. So I just wanted to say that I think that the report in looking at some of those things looks at some of these issues as well. I thought it would be an important area of issues, and I'm sure that Commissioner Moyepia will touch on that, and then, as I say, hand over to other colleagues, in relation to the work that is being done around the question of registration and certainty that people have in terms of where they will vote for, as well as electronic voting. I think in terms of our work to promote an awareness of elections and also participation, I'm sure that he and members of the administration will pick up on those questions. So through you, Chair, if I could hand over to Commissioner Muyepia.
Thank you, Commissioner Muyepia.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to you. Good morning to the Deputy Minister. And good morning to the honorable members and everyone on the platform. I'm going to just deal with three matters. I must admit, for us as practitioners, this report is fairly critical and important. It speaks a language we understand, a language we relate to, and in a way that we can see the difference between our institution and others. In respect of political of campaign finance, I think it is very crucial to note that at the time that we were measured, we didn't have campaign financing legislation. That was the biggest criticism we had in the survey. We have now run a year of campaign financing, and we have only 2024 that will come with us running that. I expect, or we expect, that this situation will improve significantly. We had previously in 2014 ranked 35 for the same reasons. And at the time when discussions began in earnest and legislation was being debated in respect of party financing, we saw that score increase to 41, from 35 to 41. Now that we have implemented, we do expect that score to increase significantly. The second issue was in relation to voter registration. Members have raised the concerns relating to voter registration last year, which we are addressing and we have dealt with. But in the time that this survey was undertaken, our score was in fact impacted by the Drogwe Constitutional Court matter. Members would recall that in just ahead of 2016 elections, we were in the Constitutional Court, and the court said that we need to have addresses for every single voter who is on the roll. At that point, a significant number of voters we did not have addresses for. And we were then given a supervisory order by that court. We have since done well. Over 95% of our voters have, in fact, an address at the moment on the voter's roll. And everyone that we are now registering going forward has an address. We expect that score to significantly increase just on that basis alone. Of course, there are other ways we have gone to improve the process, allowing persons to register online and other means of registrations that we are, voter registration that we are looking at. The point I'm making is that at the point that we had the elections of the National Assembly in 2019, the issue of addresses on our roll was a big concern for even the people that were doing the surveys. And they scored us low. In fact, they reduced our score from 52 to 46. And we just have to accept that. We have dealt with the issue, and it'll be interesting to see where we go from there. The last point I want to raise is that if one looks carefully at what separates us in Africa from being number one, in truth, just the score on party financing alone was the score that removed that position one from us. Now, if we have improvement, and that 7 points, by the way, Cape Verde scored 73, we were at 66. And our party financing took from us almost 7-8 points. And if we improve just in that area, we will do well. But that's not our target. We are looking at improving overall, and we hope even for better. I think those are the issues that members were really raising concern, and I'd like to limit my contribution to them alone. There are other issues where we do exceptionally well compared to the best in the world, but that's not the issue today. The issue is where do we improve, and what are the issues that underlie the improvements we need to make. Thank you, Chairperson.
Through you, if I may just then hand to the CEO and the team just to deal with some of the specifics that have been asked in terms of measures that we've been taking in relation to registration and also enhancing voter participation and electronic voting. CEO?
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee and Deputy Minister. In terms of media, campaign media, there are five questions. There are five questions, in fact, in each of the 11 categories. And the questions that they patently considered are the following. Did newspapers provide balanced election news? Did TV news favor the governing party? Are parties or candidates had a fair access to political broadcasts and advertising? Did journalists provide fair coverage of the election? And did social media, was social media used to expose electoral fraud? So those are the five questions that they looked at under campaign media. Pertinently, on campaign finance, the questions that were considered are, did parties and candidates have equitable access to public subsidies? Did parties and candidates have equitable access to political donations? In other words, private donations? Did parties and candidates publish transparent financial accounts? Did rich people buy elections? In other words, rich people in society buy favor with political parties or candidates? Were some state resources improperly used for campaign purposes? So those are the five sub elements that the study looked at. Now, just as a general comment before I offer some responses, I think what the Electoral Integrity Project does is to look at the election at a global scale. In other words, they are assessing it at the macro level. That is to say, cumulative performance of the 22,000 voting stations on election day, as an example, rather than nitpicking aberrations that are that may be found in 1, 2, or 10 stations. Well, I think it is important that that point is understood, that this is an assessment of the total performance of a system. So it's a systemic assessment rather than nitpicking of aberrations. That said, Here's an issue that I think we all have to be alive to, and that is the constitutional injunction to place the addresses of voters on the voters' roll has a corresponding consequence. And that is, once you have that address on the voters' roll, you have to ensure that that address has a nexus with the political boundary being a ward. Because in law, a person has to be registered in the voting district, in a voting district of a ward in which they are ordinarily resident. So it is crucially important that once we know the address of a voter, an assessment is made as to whether that address has a relationship with the ward in which it is situated. If, in fact, there's no such a relationship, the address is Centurion, but you are registered in Siyabuswa, it is incumbent upon the chief electoral officer to engage with that voter in terms of Section 11 and Section 12 of the Electoral Act and bring to their attention the fact that your registration is incorrect. And if you don't make submissions, you're going to be placed in a different ward. That's the logical consequence of placing an address on a voter's roll, amongst others. It has to be done, however, as I say, with a conscious involvement of the subject matter of that registration being the voter. Now, how do people know where they're registered? What are the modalities that are available for any voter to check their registration status? There are several. One, during the registration weekend, you can visit the station and there's a voter's roll there at the station, which can be used for purposes of confirming your registration. There's a call center which operates at heightened electoral periods with the number 0800 11 8000. You can use that. Thirdly, you can use the website and make an inquiry by punching in your ID, where am I registered? It will give you details of your registration as well as the voting station. Fourthly, there's an SMS line, 32810, where you send your ID number and you get an almost instantaneous response with the details of your registration and your voting station. Fifthly, in law, contestants are provided a copy of the voter's roll with addresses, of course, with some details redacted as per the section 16, the new section 16.3 of the Electoral Act. Again, that is a mechanism that can be used for people to confirm their registration status. So there are all those avenues which are availed to the citizenry to check their registration status. A majority of them are active even as we speak. Now, the special vote I think this is an issue that as a country, of course, we've got to talk about, because as a general principle, you are correct in that if you've applied for a special vote, you have to have the confidence that the Electoral Commission officials will come and collect the special vote, because that's what is lawful. You've made a lawful application, it was lawfully approved, and it has to be lawfully provided to you and eventually counted and taken into account in the collation of results. That's what ought to happen. But there is a phenomenon where that's what ought to happen. You go but to there is a phenomenon how? Where you arrive and that's what ought to happen. You go the purported applicant is not aware that they have applied. So someone applied for them on their behalf without them knowing. Or what you get a house, the person has gone to do shopping. She's gone to shopping. And one of the problems we've had in 2021 was that the special votes were done on Saturday and Sunday. And those are worshiping days for certain religious communities. For instance, there are examples of people who were visited by officials and they had gone to church. Now, it then begs the question, if a voter is so unfit to apply for a special vote, but they are fit to do other errands, you know. So those things have to be looked at because I think there's an element of application abuse that we've got to get rid of. The last time we spoke with the portfolio committee on the subject of electronic voting, we indicated that, firstly, we had wanted to do a pilot and we had included an enabling provision for that purpose in the previous bill, not the current one that you consider. And the consensus in the portfolio committee was, no, we can't at this stage look at the pilot. You should instead come and let's debate the subject outside of a bill and take it from there. Of course, we're not sitting on our laurels. We've written to the committee. We do want to have that session with the portfolio committee on that subject. And it will form the basis of subsequent actions that may be necessary from a budget perspective, from a policy perspective, as well as from a buy-in perspective with society. So we are at the ready, really, to have that discussion with yourselves if your program allows. Last issue, voter registration. We have to ensure that the modalities of registration are easy for everybody across the different social milieu in the country. I think it's a necessity. Given our uneven economic development in various communities in the country. So the opening of a voting station in every community is almost an equalizer of opportunity for purposes of registration, because no one is advantaged or disadvantaged by a station opening. Everybody must make an effort to get to a station within their community. So I think, therefore, the opening of a voting station should remain a mainstay mechanism for according citizens, qualifying citizens, opportunities to register. That does not, however, detract from the need to provide other supplementary mechanisms, in particular mechanisms that target young people. And for that purpose, we introduced an online registration platform in July 2021. And that supplementary mechanism of registration was used by over 500,000 people to register ahead of the election, a majority of whom were young persons. Precisely because we are alive to the fact that young persons use mobile devices to engage the politics of the country, to engage electoral politics of the country, and so on. So it is mobile devices are instruments of political engagement by young persons. Therefore, you've got to provide opportunities for their registration on those devices. And I think the Commission has met that need. What we need to do, however, is to popularize that platform even more. Take it to the far-flung sections of the country. And so on. So that's one. Two, to engage with corporate South Africa, especially the telcos, to get to a point where the platform is zero rated, so that there's no burden of data costs and related amenities. So those are the things that we are working on. And Vice Chair, I would want to stop it at that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, CEO. Chairperson, honourable members, I think that there are a number of more detailed conversations, particularly, for example, around the issue of technology, and we really realize that you've had a very intense program around the electoral amendments, but it would be very important for all of us to be able to have that time with you to go through some of these issues so that we know that we were moving together to improve things. So I don't know if there are any other issues, Chair, but I'll hand back to you. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you very much for detailed responses and comments, and members raised the issues for your attention. I'm going to invite, or are members having other issues to raise before I invite the Deputy Minister? Okay. Let me invite the Deputy Minister also to make his a remark on the report and also the contributions that the members have made, and perhaps his observation on the work that the IEC is engaged on. Deputy Minister Njabulo Mzunza.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. I think we welcome the presentation that has been done by the IEC, and we also accept and greatly appreciate our standings. What the comments that I would like to make, the first one is that, yes, we understand that we are striving to be number one, and indeed we will be much happier when we get there. But we must appreciate where we are ranking right now, which is amongst the best. It really does show that IEC continues to do great work and that our democracy is amongst the best in the world. I do think that we must look closely, and I'm happy that Commissioner Love made that particular statement at the end, that we must look closely at the adverse drivers that resulted to us not to sit on top, and then find a program and a way of dealing with those adverse drivers one by one. I understand the issue of electoral financing has been dealt with the Financing Act, but Political Party Funding Act. But we must accept that somewhere, somehow, there might be gaps. But how do we fill up those gaps, particularly around issues that have resulted into negative drivers for our ranking? I do think that we must then develop a list of those interventions. If we have identified all those negative adverse drivers, then list up the interventions that we need, because it's not going to be an IEC issue alone. There's going to be some of the issues that we as a department might need to deal with in supporting the Independent Electoral Commission to be able to do its job better and be able to sit better in terms of the ranking. Now, the last two issues is that the rankings themselves, we must not look at them as just a mechanical issue. They must also translate or reflect the feeling of the voters of the ground. They must relate with the feeling, with the ratings. If we say we are at this level, they must also feel that, yes, indeed, we are at that particular level. So we must not just do it as a mechanical exercise, but as a way of improving voter confidence and the way of improving voter experience. Well, one lastly, as a department, will always be available to assist the IEC in making positive contributions wherever that they are required. But we really do clap hands for the IEC for the good work that they have done. Indeed, our democracy is in safe hands. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Deputy Minister, for those remarks. We're welcoming the report as been presented, and I think there's an appreciation on the work the IEC has been doing, members and the DM. And I think you have demonstrated in your presentation the continuous good work of the IEC. I think last year or early this year, there was an interview with one of the NGOs. And I think CEO Mama Bolo, I did call him to just to give him notes on the interview I have listened to. They were harsh at the IEC, testing your credibility on your work. And I think there was a line of a corrupt IEC. And I think most of us were taken aback with shock in terms of the articulation of that NGO represented at that time. And this report clearly demonstrates contrary to what was the narrative that is being carried. And I think it was carried on the purpose of trying to distract the current discourse of the electoral amendment process. But I think we're taking note of the good work and improvements that the IEC continuously demonstrate. Members of the committee, Commissioner Love and Commissioner Miyabza, there's an area where we perhaps will need an update on the identified areas post local government elections last year, which the committee has made an impression on the weaknesses that we may have need to improve on. And I think in that session, when we're going to interface on the electoral voting, you will able to give the update around that. And I think overall, the issues that the DM has raised in terms of identifying some of the areas which may not have gained you points, we may need to come back and I think highlight or possibly identify your progress in terms of making sure that we mitigate those areas. Centrally is that society must be able to own up to the work of the ISC. The voters must all able to own up to the work of the ISC. And I think it's the path in which we're directed to. And I want to take this opportunity to thank you and ISC and the team for the report and members for your contributions. We'll, in the next session with the IEC, have able to deal with those issues that have been recommended by the committee on the electoral, on the local government elections last year, and the presentation that they've made and the issues that you've identified that the IEC may pay attention for improvement. And I think this report identifies some of the issues that I think the IEC Commissioner Mietza correctly asserted in terms of the work that must go into for improvement. Thanks very much. We're going to stand off this item of the IEC. Earlier on, we then raised the issue of the Commission on Gender Equality. There's some issues we raised. I'm advised that they have joined in the meeting with the issues that were raised earlier on. Mr. Matunzi, who is in the meeting, before we start with our remarks so that we get a sense as to what are the issues.
Chairperson, the people that are in the meeting is Belanco Sini Tubelife and Mona Lisa Jankis.
Okay. Morning, colleagues from the Commission on Gender Equality. What the committee earlier interacted in your absence is that one, a letter or a communique was sent for attention to attend the portfolio committee. And I'm sure earlier in the year, because of the item on the electoral amendment, we could not schedule you for the time you were supposed to be, and we have slotted this item to this date. And the invite was circulated for attention for some time. Secondly, is that this meeting started at 9 o'clock, and we ran apologies, and there was no indication on your attendance. As we ran on the program, it appears that we got an indication that the chair of the commission is not in the, or is out of the country, and it indicated that you do not get the link to the meeting. As I was, the IEC was presenting, I got an indication that you are not using Zoom, you are using Teams, so you can't attend the meeting. Now, I'm giving you this background to appreciate the concerns of the committee members, that if we stand out on the consistent or respect to each other as stakeholders or professional work, I'm sure if it was the committee, you are inviting them to a meeting, they behave like this. I'm sure you're not going to appreciate our conduct as members of the committee. So this is a view which we have made observation on. We are not sure whether you are able to come and present. Initially, we have turned off the item so that we reschedule it for another day. On the concerns that you raised, we're not sure whether you are going to attend or not, but I think is a concern that I think we must put on record so that we're able to interact with each other with the utmost professional respect. Can I get an indication from the Commissioner on gender equality on the issues that you raised and what is their intention from now? Thank you. I'm not sure who's leading the commission, Mr. Matonsi, if you can assist us.
Chairperson, I've been speaking to Mr. Vilenkosini Thubelihle. I'm assuming he's the one who's leading this delegation to the meeting. Mr. Vilenkosini, if you can please respond to the chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Matonsi, and thank you, and good morning to you all colleagues. Good morning and to the chairperson. Let me start by acknowledging the concerns that arise from the floor, from the committee itself, regarding the back and forth that was happening with us this morning. And I would like to apologize for our chairperson. I am Vilenkosini Thubelihle. I'm a researcher at the Commission for Gender Equality. So we have not been aware, firstly, with that we're supposed to be using Zoom. I think that's a fault or a mistake from our part, but we tried as quickly as possible to download the app because our system doesn't actually allow us to download apps for ourselves, but we have to ask IT and the member. And the personnel from the department was busy as well, but we tried to contact him so that he could come and address the challenges we're facing at the time. We apologize profusely for being late to the meeting, but we also did not get the link on time from our side. But I think there was a communication problem between Mr. Matonsi and myself since yesterday, because I sent an email, he said he didn't receive it, and then I did not receive his communication as well from my end. So that's it. So I apologize for that, Chairperson. Well, with regards to us presenting today, I do not know what you and the committee will decide, but we are okay as well with this presentation being postponed so that we can also prepare well enough for ourselves to make a proper presentation before your committee. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Can I get the impression of members?
Chair.
Can start with another? Yes?
Oh, no, you can, if you want to go down the list, it's fine.
No, proceed. Start, Honorable Lizanne.
Yeah, I think my input on this would be listening to the Vilenkosi just speaking now. I think we should really decide or resolve to postpone this presentation, firstly because it seems they are not prepared to speak to the or adequately prepared to speak to this important report, and one would have wanted to engage with the chairperson of the CGE on this report. So I think it would be unfair to put him under pressure, you know, and engage on issues with him that he might not be adequately prepared on. So really, I would suggest that we park it for another time and do justice to this important report and not haphazardly take on the issues at this time. That would be my submission. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Tito. Honorable Khwasa.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think you, on your welcoming remarks to the Commission, you touched on very important issues. One, I think we should also try and strengthen the communication. I think the main point here, it was a communication breakdown. As the committee, we were expecting the presentation. The presentation is not here. We can't honestly say we are forcing them to make a presentation. But going forward, I think if you have received the program of the committee, you were at least supposed to be making follow-ups on your side because you knew that at some point you were expected to come to the committee. I think it's a matter that we can just let it go for now. But honestly, it is very much problematic, as it is going to change the program that we adopted and agreed upon as the committee. But for now, Chair, there's nothing much we can say because there's no presentation that is coming before us. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Khwase. Honorable Khanyile.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I have been covered by the my two colleagues that have spoken before me that we can postpone the meeting, and hoping that what is happening here today, it's not going to happen again. As Honorable Khwas has already indicated, together with yourself, that we need to ensure that we strengthen communication, and if an invitation is sent, maybe the office of the parliament or of the committee needs to make follow-up and ensure that the other side, they have received the invitation. We are hoping, Chairperson, that this is not going to happen again. And I'd like to also suggest that we postpone this particular briefing. Then we will discuss it in the programming meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Khanyile, Honorable Molekwa. Honorable Pillay has already made his point earlier on that to stand off unless it changes views.
No, no, Chairperson, I've not changed my views. Thank you.
Honorable Modise.
Thank you, Chair. I agree and support that we should postpone the briefing. Thank you very much.
Honorable Rose.
Thank you, Chair. I do agree to the postponement, but I think this also relates to what I've been saying for the last few meetings now. We're receiving reports the day before or 2 days before, and it seems like, again, in this case, there's been some last-minute communication, et cetera. And you know, this has been coming for a long time. We need a proper opportunity to interrogate reports. I mean, there should have been confirmation with the Commission at the beginning of the week. We should have... a week ago, we should have received this report a week ago so that we can properly consider these important matters, Chair. So I'd like to just reemphasize that. We really need to start getting these reports earlier and, not being in these situations where there's a last minute thing and we have to skim read and read quickly through reports that are very important, Chairperson. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, members, for guidance. I will take responsibility with Mr. Matonzi and correct the administrative weaknesses on the issues that members are raising. And Mr. Matonzi, we must up our administrative work, both on the reports that must reach members earlier for their interacting with that report before the portfolio committee. I think we've been doing well, but we must need to improve where there are weaknesses and the communication. And it reflects not well on both of us. But secondly, is that the gender commission, they've been sent a communique earlier on, as I've indicated, that we're just postponing the item because of the electoral amendment deliberations. And we, at that point, they could have sent that report to our attention. So on the side of the stakeholder, we may need to be also improve our communication, our work when the committee has sent a communique which we have sent earlier on in the year. So that report could have been, at least if there were amendments to that report, but could have had a report by that time. So we're going to work along those lines. I also agree with the Honorable Izel that at least we will need the chair of the commission to present that report so that there's also accountability on some of the issues that this team that is led here may not able to account to the committee on certain issues. I think that is the view of the and the resolve of the committee on how we're going to move forward. You'll be communicated a date early, and I think we'll appreciate if the compliments of the commission will be in the meeting. I think that assist us to have a consensus on the approach we are going to take moving forward. In the MENCO, we'll also determine the date which we're going to invite you. I think that will assist us, Mr. Matonsi, in this summary.
Yes, Chairperson, it does assist us on the way forward. But you know, the challenge that we had with CGE is because I was communicating with the Chairperson, and then the link was sent to the Chairperson and the other commissioner, so they did not forward the information to Mr. Zita there. So yeah. But I take responsibility for that, Chairperson. Can see also, I also send you an SMS which came from the Chairperson of the Commission. And you will recall on Saturday, I also spoke to you regarding the issue of the CGE, whether they are attending the meeting or not. But it was confirmed yesterday. So, but I also take responsibility. Thanks, bye.
No, it's fine. I think, Mr. Zita, you must relate the committee message. Mr. Matonsi, it will be important also the commissioner or the commissioners or the chair to work well to improve their administrative relations with the team, so that we don't come to the meeting and say we've sent this one to the chair and this and that. I think Mr. Zita, just improve the work with the chair in terms of how you relate administrative. Thank you very much. Members, thank you IEC and thank the team for attending this meeting. We'll then take forward on the issues with recommended and able to interact in our next session. Mr. Matonsi, if there's no announcement, is there any announcement?
Yes, Chairperson. One was that in the old agenda, Chairperson, there was an issue of the minutes. You indicated to me before the start of the meeting that because of the sitting, we might have to postpone again. Then the announcement that I have is that last week we did announce that there was going to be a joint oversight with the portfolio committees on police and mineral and energy to certain provinces where there's illegal mining. And then we did meet last week with the Chairperson and our whip and other colleagues from the other committees. And then there was an agreement that this coming weekend we're going to start with Limpopo on our oversight and then proceed to Northwest Mpumalanga and other provinces over the weekend. And then at that time, the Committee on Minerals and Energy has already submitted an application for them to be approved for this coming weekend, and then we're going to submit ours again, and then police also. And then over the weekend, I received a WhatsApp message that application by Mineral and Energy was not approved, and then it means the oversight which was going to be taking place this coming weekend will move over to the weekend of the 10th and the 11th in Limpopo. But if there are any other changes, I'll let the members on the group know. So that's all, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Matonsi, for that announcement. The meeting stands adjourned.
Thank you, colleagues.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yabu. How are you?
I'm okay, man.